You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Okay, how about a little finance today? How about those pocketbook issues? What about estate planning? I've heard rumbles that tax changes, economic changes, even cultural changes associated with the Biden administration may have an impact on your plans for the future. If so, what to do? Want to talk about that. Later on, after a year, the PPP program has run out of funds. What's the future of that program? And how about a little help with the Restaurant Revitalization Fund? And couldn't they have named that a little bit easier for us? No, I don't suppose. The SBA's Brent Donnelly is there to rescue us. And then did somebody say egg, our state's number one industry? What's up with wheat prices? Man, the highest they've been in years. We'll talk about that today. It is from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. So good to have you joining us here. The number is always available, 866-627-5483. You want to talk to one of our guests today? As I mentioned, we're going to have three on. Again, we're going to roll through a lot of topics here, all related to pocketbook issues. Always a huge, huge thing. And I do hope you're doing well. We've been here 22 years. I think it's 23 now. I think our official start date was somewhere around 1998. Don't ask me to do the math, but it's two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective. And again, I hope the day is just, I hope you're killing it. You're spanking it out there. Going to talk a little bit later on about wheat prices. Of course, as you know, we're a part of the Northern Ag Network here, Northern Broadcasting System. So there's a lot of ag broadcasters running around the station and the network, I should say, and talking about the highest wheat prices in years, years and years. And also, of course, moisture content in the soil. That's a huge thing. What about this latest legislative session? So Mitch Conan is going to join us, president of the Montana Grain Growers Association. That'll be a bit later on to kind of dig into that. Brett Donnelly. Also, he's been on. He's a good guy. Montana District Director for the SBA. I want to talk a little bit as the PPP program, after a year, has run out of funds, and perhaps you still have an application out there. Maybe you were just sort of late to coming to the understanding that, hey, these funds, I could take advantage of them. And I appreciate where you are with that. We don't really necessarily like to borrow money if we don't have to. We're Montanans. We're independent. We try to dig it out. But there's this help available, or it was. And finally, though, those funds have expired. What does that do to your current application? And then they also have this Restaurant Revitalization Fund. And there's a lot of money in that, too. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Brent Donnelly. First up, though, estate planning. Sam Painter is with us, senior partner from Thompson Painter Law PC. Sam graduated, you'll like this, Montana State University in Bozeman with a science degree in criminal justice, served in that field for a while, and then went over to the University of Montana Law School and got his law degree there. So I got to ask you, Sam, thanks for being here. Are you a bobcat or are you a grizz?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I shouldn't take sides, but I'm going to have to.
Don't duck the question, Sam. Are you a bobcat or are you a grizz?
I'm a bobcat.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. There's a lot of bobcats around here, as you may
say
that. Or, yeah, yeah. And I've got a little bit of blue and gold in my blood, too. Just a smidge. Hey, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Estate planning. You know, I am hearing people talk about, I want to say the Biden administration, but there's the potential for new capital gains taxes. There's potential for new regulations that may do different things to people who rely on resources as part of their portfolio. Do people, when a new administration comes along, is that a good time to take a look at your estate planning? Does everything you've done up to that point then need to be adjusted or go away?
You know, I guess in our practice, we have a wide range of clientele. Many ranches, farms are always in sort of a jeopardy when it comes to changes in the tax law. Every new administration or tax law that comes out, we have to examine it, and we have to reach out to our clients. And, you know, this year, there's so many proposals on the table. We're just trying to sift through it and give people the what ifs and what if this happens. And I guess our advice to our clients this year is, if you do not have an estate plan, we think you ought to look into establishing one. And if you have an existing plan, we think you need to get in to see your estate planning attorneys, whoever they are, to determine if you need to make some adjustments.
What would determine that? What would be like the key indicator that would determine, and maybe you should tell folks first, what is an estate plan?
Well, an estate plan, really, this is why I love the field. There's only two systems. You can use the will system, which most folks are aware of, and you can use a trust system of estate planning. And basically, an estate plan is how you determine you're going to leave your assets to your heirs and your relatives, second generations, that sort of thing. What we want to do is we try to figure out the best way for you to leave your assets. And in Montana, that generally consists of farmland, ranches, cattle, equipment, those sorts of things. And the best way to do it without tax consequences.
Sam Painter is with us, senior partner and estate planning attorney, part of Thompson Painter Law PC. They're located in Billings, and they've been providing estate planning services for Montana clients. As Sam is saying, you know, protect your families. There are things that some of these things are inevitable, death and taxes, as they say. But you also say incapacity here is another reason to really shore up sort of this end of thing. Sam, there's a lot of people that don't shore it up, right?
That's correct. I think the majority of folks out there do not have an estate plan in place. And they may have a simple will that they did, you know, 30 years ago when they were newly married and their children are, you know, 3 or 4 years old, but life changes. A lot of folks gather and accumulate assets that now they need to think, what happens if I pass away? What's going to happen to the assets? How are they going to be transferred to my children or my grandchildren? And you need to update those things. And you mentioned the incapacity issue. That issue is overlooked quite often. And folks don't realize that there's really no one on earth that can make your decisions for you when you're an adult. And if you become incapacitated, you need to have somebody appointed by the court, either as a conservator or a guardian, to make your decisions for you. There's ways to prepare for that, and we always recommend using standby powers of attorney to have those in place so family members can step up and make your decisions for you if you're not able. So we make that part of your estate plan as well.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, because you don't want to think about what you don't want to think about. What are some of the things, I know you kind of hit it a little bit, but that people should think about, especially as it relates to a change in administration? I mean, is a tax law changes with every Congress, it seems like. And I don't know if there were obviously some major tax changes with the Trump administration, and the ones that are maybe coming down the line are not down the line yet. I mean, can you get too far ahead of yourself if you start thinking, I need to do something with my capital gains taxes?
Well, I think it's good to think ahead, because I honestly believe a lot of folks don't realize how many assets they have and what form of assets. Do they have cash? Do they have land? You know, when did they purchase their land? But kind of leads us to, for years, we've been doing estate planning without much regard for the federal estate tax. Previously, before the Trump administration, the level was around $10 million. You could pass to your children or your heirs without any impacts or having to pay what they call the death tax, up to $10 million. Currently, after the Trump administration, they doubled that amount, and it is now $11.7 million per person. So in other words, a couple can leave $23.4 million to their heirs without paying any estate or death tax. So, and Montana repealed its death tax years ago. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't much concern or regard in the estate plan as to most of my clients are below the $23.4 million, so we didn't have to think too much. current situation is there's discussion of new legislation that will, again, they're going to lower the federal tax exemption, ranging from there's proposals for, you know, $600,000, $700,000, $10 million. You know, they're all over the place. And I think folks need to start thinking about what are the implications of that. Well, if you have a ranch,
Yeah. They
lower the federal tax exemption to about $600,000, you're going to exceed that amount, and you're going to be taxed heavily.
And that's, of course, in my opinion, is the death tax. It makes very, very little sense. You've already been taxed on those things that you've accumulated. For Montana ranchers, farmers, I mean, that's a real, real low threshold when you're talking about all the equipment they have, all the land that they have, and that gets reassessed and reevaluated all the time. What should ranchers do? I mean, period. What do farmers and ranchers need to do in light of this?
Well, currently, you got to remember you have $11.7 million per person or $23.4 million per couple to even that's your federal tax exemption. It's also your limit for gifting assets throughout your lifetime. Mm. A lot of the conventional wisdom and discussion is should ranchers and farmers start thinking about gifting a lot of their assets to their heirs early while you have this large amount in your pocket, so to speak. So we're meeting with folks, and the idea is to reduce the amount of assets you have upon your passing. So if you do it early and you're underneath this, whatever the federal estate tax exemption is set at, you're going to be much better off than paying a large, you know, 45% tax on anything that might exceed the federal limit.
How hard is this? How hard is it to do estate planning, Sam?
I think it's there's a general principle that you look at: who is your family, what are your assets, and what are your desires. It gets a little bit more difficult when you start trying to guess what Congress is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think folks, once they come in and we discuss these matters, every family is different. They may each have a different plan. And kind of the new wrench they're throwing in things is, what if they do away with this exemption or lower the exemption, which they're going to do? We have to start looking at, how do you intend, or who do you intend to take over these assets? Farms, ranches, equipment, cattle, all of these things. We need to start looking at them sooner than later and coming up with some what-ifs.
Sam Painter with us here. Just, we got about a minute left here, Sam. Senior partner from Thompson Painter Law, PC, has his own practice for 20-plus years, now doing estate planning. And this is an easy one, but in like about 30 seconds, you're doing your first seminar in like over a year due to COVID-19. It's going to be May 20th.
That's correct. We're finally going back in person.
Yeah.
Inviting folks to come free. It's on May 20th. We have two sessions, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. We're going to hold it out at the Hampton Inn and Suites. It's off Billings West I-90. It's free. It's very educational. We'll answer a lot of questions that folks may have. You know, I hope folks come out. It's kind of nice to get in public and get into actual people again.
I know.
Telephones and computers are not the best.
Yeah, but no, I know that feeling. We're getting out and about ourselves next week in particular. Talk about that later. But Sam, thank you. I appreciate that. Sam Painter, senior partner, Thompson Painter Law PC. Just look them up. Thompson Painter. It's P-A-I-N-T-E-R Law PC. We'll check in with you later on. Okay, Sam?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Brent Donnelly is back with more from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. All right, Brent Donnelly joins us now, Montana District Director with the SBA. It's Tom Schultz back here on Voices of Montana. Good to have you joining us all. It's from Montana for Montana. Caught up with Brent yesterday as he was off to baseball practice, I should say. Brent, did your kid knock it around a little bit? Did that happen?
It was awesome. It was very Montana last night. So we had a game last night, and we live in Three Forks. Three Forks has two teams on the majors and two teams on the minors, and my son plays on both. But last night was the majors game, and it was the Three Forks team against the Three Forks team.
Oh, so, cool.
Three Forks won.
Everybody's a winner.
You know, it's really cool because I was actually thinking about this. I was driving this morning thinking about this. It was, we've talked about it on your show before about the SBA programs, PPP and EIDL, and how those were kind of delivered in Montana. And we talked a little bit about the community aspect of, you know, you might see your banker at the bank, but you also might see him at the ball game.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened last night. So business owners, bankers, the kids, it was fun was had by all.
I know, that's good. And when you're at the ballpark, you tend not to talk shop, and that's pretty cool too. Well, let's talk some shop here. Okay, Brent is the Montana District Director with the Small Business Administration. I saw this was last week at some point. The higher ups, I'll call them, sent out just a statement from the SBA after more than a year of operation and serving more than 8 million small businesses. Funding for the bipartisan Paycheck Protection Program has been exhausted. For me, it's a bit of a surprise that this comes a year later. But nonetheless, talk about that. What does that do? Do businesses still have applications currently?
They do. And there is still some opportunity to get an application in. So the funding for the PPP program essentially has been exhausted for most of the lenders. However, there is a set aside of some funding for what's called community financial institutions, and there is still some funding left in that set aside. So those community financial institutions are still able to accept PPP applications. As of last week when they made that announcement, we were told there was still about $9 billion left for those CFIs to make loans with. But, the announcement came at least from the district's standpoint or from our local standpoint, a bit of a surprise to us as well when that came out. We didn't have a lot of heads up there. But, I mean, for Montana, we did get a list of those community financial institutions, and we've checked with those in Montana that are still taking applications. And there's five of those lenders still in the state. So businesses still in the state that have a pending application that didn't get approved in time or, you know, I mean, it's been a year. But if there are still some businesses out there that haven't applied that were thinking of applying or wanted to, I mean, there's still an opportunity to do that. And I would highly recommend they do it, you know, sooner rather than later, because I'm not sure what the burn rate's going to be on that $9 billion or how long that's going to last.
Right. SBA.gov for more information. Yeah. You went out and visited, and this comes from a statement earlier, but small businesses make up 99.3% of Montana businesses and employ more than 245,000 people. That's really such a surprising vast majority. You did this, I think it was in December of last year, this Peaks to Plains Business Resiliency Tour. Did you find a lot of Montana businesses waiting to see if they really, really needed the PPP funds, or just the availability of that program, the attractiveness of that program caused them to get over the hump and take a crack at it?
Yeah, no, I think most of the Montana businesses that felt they need it probably have applied for it. I mean, I was looking at some data. So last year during those first couple of rounds of PPP, there was about 24,000 of those loans in Montana. This year, though, in the, you know, called the 2021 version, if you will, you know, we've already up to another 22,200 of those loans for another $800 million.
Wow.
And so we have talked to a few banks, though, since the announcement last week, and I have heard that the banks were saying, hey, that the volume of PPP applications was much fewer, you know, recently. So I think, I hope all of the Montana businesses that need it were able to access it, and if there's any that haven't, I hope they jump on it right away.
And there's the EIDL program, right?
EIDL program is still open and taking applications. And in fact, here a few weeks ago, they announced an increase to the maximum loan amount of the EIDL program. Previously, it was capped at $150,000, and that's been moved up to $500,000. So, and they've opened it up for businesses that already applied for and took an EIDL loan. If they need more funds, they can request an increase or ask for an increase.
Gotcha. We're going to move on. I got to take a break here. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Okay.
No, this is great.
I want to talk about this restaurant revitalization fund.
Yes.
Because, you know, we talk about Montana small businesses. A lot of them that suffered the most were in that industry. Let's kind of dig into that a little bit. Brett Donnelly, Montana District Director with the SBA, back with more after these headlines from Brian Bennett. What's up with wheat prices? Well, the price of wheat up 50% from where it was a year ago. How is that going to change the outlook, perhaps, for Montana farmers? We'll catch an update on that as we talk about pocketbook issues. That's a bit later on. Mitch Conan, president of the Montana Grain Growers Association. I'm Tom Schultz, Brent Donnelly, with the Montana District Director here of the SBA. Of course, been on the program frequently, a nine-year career with the USDA Rural Development Administration. Lives in Three Forks with his family, and they like to play a little baseball every now and again. Hey, Brent, again, thanks for being here. And I'm going to refer to it like you do, the RRF, because I can't say Restaurant Revitalization Fund, but it was part of the American Rescue Plan. Let's go into that a little bit. Who does it affect? What kind of businesses can take advantage of this program, and what's in this program?
Yeah, no, good question. So yeah, RRF, Restaurant Revitalization, it's got that word restaurant in there, but it's really for food and beverage operations. And so that goes beyond perhaps what we might think of typically as a restaurant. So restaurants, things like food trucks, food carts, catering operations, bars, saloons, snack bars, bakeries, brew pubs, tasting rooms, wineries and distilleries, inns, and those types of operations. So that kind of gives you a sense of the type of operation that can apply for these funds. So it's intended to replace lost revenues as a result of the COVID pandemic. And so these operations can apply for grant funds through this program. They apply right on the SBA.gov website for lost revenue. So comparison to 2019-2020 revenue loss, up to $5 million per location, or up to $10 million per business if the business has multiple locations. And so the application portal is open for the program now, right on the SBA.gov website. To give you a sense of the interest in this program, it's a $28.6 billion program that came from Congress. And during the first few days of the application portal opening, 186,000 applications were submitted. So, yeah, you know, like we've learned with all of these COVID programs for the SBA, if you're interested in them, have a need for them, you should apply right away and not wait.
Yeah.
Because these funds deplete, you know, quickly, right? So the way they're funding these grants is the first 21 days, they're going to fund applications from specific groups. So women-owned business, veteran-owned business, socially economically disadvantaged business. So that's the first 21 days. And then after that 21-day period, they'll be funding applications in the order received. But one thing I do want everybody to know is if you're not in one of those groups that I just mentioned, women-owned, veteran-owned, socially economically disadvantaged business, you can apply now anyway to get your spot in line. So you don't have to wait the 21 days. You can go ahead and apply. They're just not going to fund the application until after that 21-day period.
Gotcha. And this is mostly, or is it entirely, a grant program to make up lost revenue? And how much lost revenue can it make up?
Yeah, so it is entirely a grant program. It's not a loan or repayable type mechanism. And so grants can be up to $5 million, so up to $5 million lost revenue per location.
Gotcha. I got just a minute left here. Anything else on this program, or what else is coming down the pike, or what should we know?
No, I think that covers that program. Just if you're going to apply for that, it's at the SBA.gov. One of the programs we mentioned a while back, the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program.
Yeah.
Applications opened up for that. And just to give folks a sense, there's been over 11,000 submitted applications for that program as well.
In Montana?
No, okay. Nationwide. Right. I wish we had the Montana number. Someday I hope we'll be able to share those and get those.
Well, that's the Shuttered Venues Program. Will that get these businesses back on their feet?
Yeah, also intended to replace some of those lost revenues. Some of those operations were closed, right?
Yeah,
Or restricted, significantly restricted.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Brent, I appreciate that. We'll check in with you again. I know you're doing good work out there. Keep it up, okay?
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Brent Donnelly, Montana District Director of the SBA. Mitch Conan will join us from Montana Grain Growers Association here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you for joining us. Pocketbook issues today. Earlier, we looked at estate planning. A lot of changes coming down the pike from the Biden administration. Sam Painter joined us with that. Just finished up here with Brent Donnelly from the Small Business Administration for Montana. And now moving on to agriculture, our state's number one industry. And one of the things that has hit us here over the last several weeks, months actually, is the high price for some of these grains. And corn, of course, was at record prices. And we wanted to kind of check how that is going to affect our outlook for our farmers in the state. And then also catch up on moisture levels, catch up on this latest legislative session, catch up with Mitch Conan, president of the Montana Grain Growers Association, born and raised third generation farmer from the Greenfields Irrigation Project. That's around Fairfield, Montana. And happened to catch him today. And no surprise, you're on the job, Mitch. What are you doing right now?
Well, I was heading down the road to start spraying some chem fallow here, and I'm in the sprayer, and just weather's in perfect shape here, so I'm gonna go hit some chem fallow
excellent.
Just kind of take a tour and see how all the rest of the crops are growing.
Yeah, great. So how fast are you going?
Actually, I was going down the road and I just pulled off so I could talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a rest somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate that. Mitch, let's talk about these grain prices, all right? President of Montana Grain Growers Association, find out more. It's mgga.org. Up more than 50% from a year ago. How does that affect our Montana farmers?
Well, you know, it shines a pretty bright light on us, I think, because they're starting to realize the value of some of this crop that's out here and these foodstuffs that are, you know, that we export around the world. We're in pretty high demand because we grow really high quality grains here in Montana, so it's always good to see that our efforts get helped out, you know, our efforts being rewarded with these high prices. And so it's, you know, winter wheat was down on acreage a little bit just due to weather concerns last fall and everything else. And this year we're coming into spring wheat and the world is looking for it. So we've got the high quality and it's boding well for us right now.
So are farmers planting more than they normally would have, or are they just going to try to take it as it comes?
Well, you know, we kind of take it as it comes, but with the markets the way they are, that does help give us a little forward thinking of what crops we should be putting in. And we've got some tools, marketing tools and whatnot, that we can use to make sure that we ensure ourselves a profit. And so I think we're going to see a little bit more spring wheat this year than we have in past years, as well as probably some canola and stuff like that, because canola has gone pretty sky high on its pricing as well, too. So,
and I suppose I was going to ask, is this a supply and demand sort of thing? It almost always is a supply and demand sort of thing. But what are the global stockpiles looking like? Are there drought conditions in other countries? I know Russia produces a lot of wheat, and what's going on there?
Yeah, I think, you know, wheat can be grown just about anywhere, and it is grown just about everywhere. So, global matters and weather and everything else are kind of controlling the supply side of it. Sounds like South America is in a little bit of a drought as well, and we're starting to see drought here, northern Great Plains, North Dakota, Montana, South Dakota, and then definitely Southwest United States. Russia and a lot of them other countries over in Europe whatnot. It sounds like they're having a few weather woes as well. And so it's right now stockpiles are kind of tight. It looks like we got a WASDE report coming out here within the hour, and that'll give us some tally numbers there. But I think overall it's looking like we might be a little bit short, or just be able to make enough to survive on. Stocks are going to be a little bit short going into it, so I think that's helping drive this price increase. Demand is definitely there, and the supply is kind of short. So that's the way the market works.
Yeah, or doesn't. Mitch Conan, president with the Montana Grain Growers Association, joining us here. Let's, as you're talking about it now, drought conditions, give us an update on what the farmers, your membership is talking about in terms of soil condition. And I'm also curious about the hoppers.
You know, I've talked to a few guys or read a few reports. You know, there's hoppers haven't showed up in a few areas that people are expecting them yet. But soil temperatures are a little cool yet. We've been cool this spring. I've heard of a few areas that the hoppers are starting to show up. We're definitely dry all over the state. I also keep in touch with the drought advisory committee and whatnot, and what they tried to put out for the drought monitor and keeping track of it within the state. And I know northeast part of the state is really dry on over into North Dakota and South Dakota. And over here, central area of Montana, we're dry. We have, I think, apple moisture to get the crop going in the top foot of our soil, but our subsoil is pretty dry. So without any other more weather events, we're definitely going to be relying on the irrigation that we have here at on the Greenfields Irrigation Project. But the rest of the guys are definitely going to be relying on that rain. And I know we got a shot of rain last week. That's definitely going to help, but it probably won't last long if the old Bunsen burner gets turned on and the heat ramps up.
Yeah, no, and replenishing that subsoil moisture is, you know, a couple of spring rains doesn't do that. It takes a little while. Mitch, let's talk a little bit about, well, let's go to the legislature right here. I want to talk about the, you know, this proposals regarding the National Heritage Area, but also your assessment as president of the Montana Grain Growers Association on how this legislature fared for farmers and ranchers.
Well, you know, we spent quite a bit of time there in Helena with the legislature, and a lot of what we've seen was a lot of common sense happening there at the legislature this year. Some tax proposals that came down from Governor Jim Forte that are helping small business, and that includes farmers, with some tax issues, as well as some other benefits that can come in. So I think, you know, overall it was a good common sense legislative year. And, you know, a few things popped up here and there that provided some controversy, but it got waved through a little bit, or okay, in pretty good shape for us. We definitely got some tax advantages, I think, a little bit, to help us out. And as far as probably one of the last pieces of legislation went through was looking for legislative approval on any of these heritage areas that are coming into the state, trying to be formed in the state. And the Big Sky National Heritage Area is definitely one of them, which is Cascade County and portions of Choteau County along that Missouri River corridor. And, you know, we really think people need to pay attention to that, what's happened in other states when these heritage areas get formed. They get put under the auspices of the National Park Service. These organizations funnel money out of the federal government through the National Park Service. They do have good intentions of preserving some of the state and some of the heritage that we have in these areas, but the way that they go about it, we don't necessarily like. Some of them that we've seen in other states, covenants get put on as far as building codes and agricultural farming practices that may be altered, and all of that kind of anything that has to do with our private property rights is in definite jeopardy within these national heritage areas.
Yeah, we've addressed that too, and I have those same concerns. It's another level of government that, you know, it talks about the promise of funding and economic prosperity or booms or busts or boost, I should say, is what I'm trying to say. And it just doesn't pan out that way. I gotta take a break. I'll tell you what. You're working. I'll just ask you this question now, and then we'll let you get back to work because there's only so many hours in the day. I want to talk. I got a question here about the spring buying inputs, and for folks, that's seeds and chemicals and plastics and things like that. The supply chain issues that we've been hearing about all over the place have affected a lot of industries. Are they affecting grain growers?
Well, most definitely. We're seeing a lot of delay on transportation of getting some of these inputs into our areas. It hasn't really affected us here. I mean, they're running tight, but just due to rains and whatnot, I think it's helped spread that out. But there definitely is some delays in transportation. And the other thing is the demand for the inputs is still there. And with the rising price of grains and everything else that we're seeing in the markets, the inputs just kind of follow along. So our inputs are costing us, are going up just about as much as what the price of the grain itself is going up. So net value overall, we don't really see any difference in our net return at the end of the year when we're paying a higher price on the inputs. And even though we're getting a higher price on the commodity on the end of the year. So some of it is in short supply. Phosphate has been getting really tight in certain areas. Last I heard, I talked to a fertilizer man local the other day, and one of his shipments that was supposed to come in a week ago didn't make it in. It didn't sound like it was going to be in until next month, and that was a whole train load. So that puts everybody in a little bit of jeopardy and making sure we got enough phosphate in the area. And chemicals are getting pretty tight too. Everything's kind of getting rationed out. The guys are working, suppliers are working it through the system, I think in really good order. I haven't heard of any big wrecks yet of anybody not being able to get something. It just might be a few days late. So, yeah, it definitely has an impact on everything that goes on.
Yeah,
out here.
And you kind of answered that question a little bit in there, but what does that cause farmers to do then?
You just add another zero on the end of your budget line sometimes, but no, it definitely makes us sharpen our pencils and pay attention to what we're doing, what our costs are, and making sure we protect ourselves on the backside with some marketing tools, to ensure that we have enough income to cover our costs. So it's basically just a pencil sharpening exercise. And sometimes we might have to change a crop in a field or something too, because some of them supplies might be just in short order, whether it's seed or plant food or whatever. So sometimes we might have to change our mode of attack or our plan. And that's the big thing, is just, you know, sticking to our plans that we had and changing if we have to. We've got to be pretty flexible sometimes.
Hey, Mitch, I got to run, but I want to get a word out there from you about membership, encouraging people to become members of the Grain Growers Association.
Oh, yes. You know, we're the biggest advocating, strongest advocating organization that we have at state level and federal level, along with the other organizations that are out there. But there's been a few things throughout the year that happened, you know, with some of this COVID money and some of the other program monies that we've had some issues with when it come to quality on some of these grains that were produced last year. And we went right to Washington, D.C. with a lot of that with our parent organization, National Association of Wheat Growers, back in D.C. and had them advocate, you know, to make sure that all of this money is going out in an even fashion amongst all the commodity groups, making sure that everybody's taken care of, and whether it's barley or wheat or corn or soybeans, that nobody has an advantage over the other. So,
I know that's real important to you. Again, find out more, mgga.org. Mitch, I know you're back to work. I got to run here as well. We'll catch up with you down the road, okay? You guys have a great one.
All righty. Take care. Thanks.
Mitch Conan, we're back with just some final thoughts here on Voices of Montana.